Library of the Living Dead, in association with Darker Projects, presents Zompod, Undead Stories for the Zombie Apocalypse. Episode number 3, featuring The Burned City and The Empty Man by author Mark M. Johnson, originally appearing on the Library of the Living Dead forum.
It doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters anymore. It's over. When all the craziness started, my wife and I thought about leaving the city. But with a new baby and of having nowhere to go, we decided to stay and tough it out. I worked day and night to fortify the house. I double boarded the windows and doors inside and out, blackened out all the windows so no light could shine through at night, and stocked up on non-perishables as much as possible. The only thing I didn't put enough thought into was escape. And that was my big mistake, it seems. We should have gotten out of the city when we had the chance. There's just too many of those things outside now to even attempt a run for the car. I know, because we tried. And that's where I lost my wife, lover, mother of my only son, and best friend, Catherine. I thought we had all the bases covered. But I never even considered the fire that even now rages just a few houses down. When we saw the first flames over the houses across the street, we knew we couldn't stay. Those damn walking dead things never even knew we were still in the house until we made a run for the car. Maybe it was the fire that drove them out in such concentrated numbers. I just don't know. When we were ready, I went first. I had the only gun I'd ever owned in one hand and a Little League aluminum baseball bat in the other. The gun was for Catherine to have in the house, though I think it was more for me to feel okay about leaving her there alone while I went to work every day. She never really warmed to the idea of having a gun in the house until this mess started up. The bat was mine from my Little League days. I'd really hoped to see my son Charles swing it someday. I'd checked the yard between the house and the garage before we made the attempt. It was only 40 feet across to the safety of the garage. I'd left our Ford Explorer in the garage to keep it hidden from thieves and boarded up the garage just as solid as the house. Only 40 feet. Might as well have been 40 miles. There'd been only a few of those damn things in the yard when I checked, and we both decided it was now or never. The fire was only a few houses away at best. We could smell nothing but the putrid stench of it at that point. I had the weapons, Catherine carried a knapsack of supplies, the key to the garage, and my son. When we burst through the back door onto the driveway, the first of them saw us and made that god-awful sound they make. It sends chills down your spine, that sound. It's nothing like you've ever heard before. It's all the horrors of death itself given one voice, and our reaction to it is as primal as it gets. It makes you want to cover your ears and scream as you run for your life. It's almost disabling. I'd expected more of them to come from the street when we made a run. There were only a few in the yard, less than 10, and I was sure I could get through them. I never thought they'd come from behind the garage like they did. Back alley must have been choked with them. They made splintered kindling out of the privacy fence that bordered the alley when they heard the call. They came through it like a tidal wave of flesh. I'd killed four of the things in the yard between us and the garage when they came through the fence. In less time than it took to cry out in terror, they were on us. Retreat was the only option then. We tried to make it back into the house. I tried. Oh, God, Jesus, believe me, I tried to save her and my son. Damn those things. Damn them and damn him who made them. They got hold of that damn knapsack on her back and pulled her down and away from me. I was bitten several times trying to free her from them. Somehow I managed to pull Charles from their grasp and make it back into the house. Catherine's screams haunted me every step. I could still hear her agonized screams as I bolted the door. They know that we're in here now. Their relentless pounding and scratching is gonna drive me mad before too long, I'm sure. They're still trying to get to us. Even now, with the fire raging only a few houses away. They've gotten into the house through one of the front windows, and we have to retreat to the attic. They can't get to us here, and it sounds like it's driving them insane. Given enough time, I think they might rip the entire house down just to get to us. I'm not worried about that anymore. The fire will get to us long before they can. I was bitten terribly during our escape attempt. I don't have much time left. Miraculously, Charles was untouched. At this very moment, he's looking up at his father with tear-filled hope in his 8-month-old eyes. I have no hope to give him. But for his sake, I struggle to pretend. I gave him one last hug, and I begged for his forgiveness as my tears mixed with his on his precious little cheeks. There's only one bullet left in the gun. It's for Charles, I think. And God help me. I pray for the courage to use it. The Empty Man by Mark M. Johnson. Read by Mike Mitchell.
The bow creaked slightly as he increased the tension from a hold to a release position. The man who once answered to the name Stephen took in a deep, calming breath and focused on his target. The young Caucasian soldier's laughter cut off suddenly as a bolt slammed into his back. He took one staggering step forward. The gun in his hand clattered to the pavement as he looked down in disbelief at the arrowhead protruding from his chest. Only seconds from death, he took a step back and turned to look up in the direction from which he had been shot. At this moment, the other soldier, struggling with the beautiful young woman, noticed the arrow pierce through his partner's body. At this distance, Stephen couldn't hear what the Latino soldier said when he saw his partner dying. From his facial expression, though, Stephen was sure they were words better left unheard. The corrupt young soldier released the woman he had been dragging to the Humvee and took cover on the wrong side of the vehicle. He'd obviously misjudged which direction the shot had come from, a costly mistake. Stephen's shot caught the second soldier in his upper right shoulder. The arrowhead pierced through his flesh and into the Humvee's door jamb, pinning his back to the side of the vehicle. He dropped his gun and screamed in agony. All the noise was drawing in walkers from every direction. No longer worried about being seen, Stephen stood up from his hastily chosen position. The young woman was now in danger of being eaten alive. a fate she may very well not deserve. The walkers were getting close to the Humvee, reaching out for the living and freshly dead flesh around it. Stephen dropped the bow and picked up his rifle. Kneeling down, he prepared to make a few headshots in defense of the woman. He found her in a scope, crouched over her murdered lover's body. When he saw the gun in her hand, he nodded in grim understanding. She turned and cast a tear-stained glance in Stephen's direction. Seeing him on a rooftop across the road, she nodded in thanks. Turning away, she placed the gun under her chin and joined her lover. Stephen walked to the edge of the rooftop and watched dispassionately as the pin soldier struggled to pull the arrow from his bloody shoulder. As the walkers closed in around him, he reached out for his dropped weapon, and then they were on him. His screams didn't last long, unfortunately, Stephen thought as he turned away. Stephen's family had taken his soul with them when they were killed. In the killing of the wicked, he'd found a new purpose in this hell on earth. Around the Humvee, a large crowd of the dead had gathered to feast. An incendiary round into the vehicle's gas tank ended the feeding frenzy. The undead bodies writhe in the flames, creating a vision rivaling Dante's own inferno.
Burning City was written by Mark M. Johnson. Read by Dr. Puss. Music, Mockingbird, from Podsafe Music. The Empty Man was also written by Mark M. Johnson. Read by Mike Mitchell. Post-production by Dr. Puss. Music, Life, Death, from Podsafe Music.